Welcome, everyone. This is The Change Show with Simon Phillips here on KLDR Radio, Leadership Development Radio. And this week, I thought we'd have a look at personal change, because personal change has a major impact on your ability to deliver as a leader in the workplace, as a leader in your community. So how does personal change impact you and indeed the people around you? And we've got a brilliant example for you, because I've got my wife, the wonderful Jackie Phillips, here again. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
And we're back because we've made some significant changes in our lives over the past few months since Jackie was last here. So we thought we'd talk to you about that and also share some insights we've had about what that means and how you can maybe use some of the things that have happened to us to good effect in your workplace. So that's the concept anyway. Who knows where it'll actually end up?
Who knows where it'll go with me on board?
Exactly. So, Jackie, has anything particularly significant happened in your life recently?
We've just moved house. We've moved not only counties, but we've moved countries, still within the UK, but we've moved from England to Wales. From Dorsetshire to Welshire.
Welshire. I'm not sure it's Welshire.
Oh, Carmarthenshire.
Yeah, Carmarthenshire. So for those of you unfamiliar with the geography of Wales and England, Dorset's on the very south coast of England, or UK as you look at it on the map. And Carmarthenshire is way out to the left, but on the south coast of Wales.
Well done. I'm still learning the geography.
Yeah. We made this decision, didn't we, specifically to come to Carmarthenshire more recently than the initial decision, which was to sell up and move on from Dorset. Mm-hmm. And that was, and I'm sure this will resonate with many of you out there, we've spent the last 5 or 6 years doing up our house in Dorset, mm-hmm. with the intention of spending a few years
when it's all done and lovely.
Yeah.
And enjoy the fruits of our labour, people's labour.
And instead of a few years, it became a few months, because almost as soon as we'd finished work on the house, we decided to put it up for sale.
Up for sale.
Yeah. And it was your idea, wasn't it?
I think it probably was. I was exploring the option as something to bear in mind, and then the universe decided it was going to speed the process. And here we are. You are welcome.
So, yeah, it was about Christmas we decided maybe we could sell up and move on, because Dorset isn't home and hasn't been home for either of us in terms of the earlier part of our lives. I've lived there now, or had lived there for 16 years, and you for the last 7 or 8, something like that.
Six, I think.
Six. And so it wasn't where we grew up.
Actually, it was 8, sorry.
There you go.
8.
It wasn't where we grew up. It wasn't where we'd spent most of our lives.
Formative years.
But it had served a purpose for quite a number of years for me while I brought up my family, which I was still doing when we met and got together. So that was the reason why we found ourselves there. And what a beautiful county it is in itself. And I think we got better at living there once we accepted that it was such a beautiful place, and we were lucky to be there, didn't we?
Yes. It was a bit of a transitional phase of we've moved here through necessity rather than choice. So it was always felt like it was just an interim spot. And then when we realised it's best just to make the best out of it, the whole energy about it changed, and we made more friends. We did more enjoyable things. And that's that.
Exactly. No, it was quite a transition, because, as you say, the initial thought process around Dorset was, well, this is serving a purpose. And we didn't really engage with the area and enjoy it. But as soon as we switched our mindset to, let's just be grateful for what we have right now, and let's just thoroughly enjoy this beautiful part of the country, which it absolutely is. And that transformed, as you say, our whole experience. We met more people. we were probably nicer to be around, I guess, in that context.
Well, nicer to be around each other.
And attracted to us, as you say, a much better energy. Lifestyle and energy. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as if we were moving away from Dorset lightly.
I think we started to bed in as well.
Absolutely. So it was definitely with heavy hearts that we started thinking about moving elsewhere. But once we'd made that decision, that actually also made the process easier, didn't it? Once we absolutely decided, whatever happens, we're moving.
I think it was like over the years of thinking about it, the decision was quite stagnant because we didn't really know what it was that we wanted to go towards. Therefore, the activities to make something happen weren't really that high up the list.
Hmm.
And then, like you say, something just shifted in the our energy about it and our thinking processes, which helped us make the list, decide what would be best for both of us for familial purposes, being able to get to our families, respective families. It crystallised the thinking about where it was that we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And then the universe decided it was going to offer us lots more to really call our bluff, really.
Well, I remember my mentor saying to me years ago, just make a decision and then make the decision right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've experienced over the last few months. So we made the decision to leave Dorset. And then it was, how do we make that decision right from our own perspective, enhancing our lives and making our lives better.
Mm.
And so that was the initial mission. That's not very easy to say.
Say it again.
Initial mission.
So after that initial mission comes the sort of the narrowing down on the criteria about what it was that we wanted, lifestyle and the work-life balance, but what we wanted, how we wanted to tip it into a lifestyle choice, and then everything else would almost like mould around that, rather than we've got to be here for work and make the most of it. It's we're going to be here for our lifestyle and the work will fit in around that.
Mm. And I think there's something about that as well, which is universally applicable when making decisions about changes, whether that's changing something in your team, changing something in the processes around which you're working. Get really clear on what it is that you want as an ideal outcome. Mm. So it's not working from here and moving forward. It's working from where you want to be.
And working backwards.
And working out all the steps in between.
Mm.
So for us, the very first thing we did was, what does that ideal place look like? Let's create that list. And we called it our criteria, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you know, again, here's a little approach that you might want to take with something that you're developing at the moment. So our list had absolute essentials.
So it's called must-haves.
Must-haves.
Compromises.
Compromises. And nice-to-haves.
Nice-to-haves, that's right.
And it was a case of then listing out all the specific things. So the must-haves, it, you know, from your perspective, It must have a utility room.
It must have my husband in it. It must have a utility room.
Yeah. Don't ask me why that was the top of Jackie's list, but it ended up being the top of Jackie's list. Top of my list was somewhere near the sea.
Yeah.
And then on the compromises, remember what the compromises included?
Compromises, one of them would have been doesn't have a utility,
yeah,
but it would have a more spacious kitchen potentially.
Yeah.
But it was interesting actually when we were creating the list that some of the things that we had on the must-have lists ended up being actually they would be a nice to have as opposed to a necessity, which then kind of freed the searching. Made that the option to search wider, because if we'd have stuck at any house has to have a utility, otherwise I'm not moving, we would have not seen a lot of the houses that we even saw just online, not even physically.
Yeah.
So it's not a deal breaker if it didn't have a utility. I'd still be, boo-hooing into my tea every morning, but I would have lived with it.
Yeah. And I think again, bringing this back to the process of decision-making, the less rigid you can be, the more opportunities you create for yourself. So for us, we initially thought, well, there's this specific space, if you like, or this specific geography that we think we want to focus on, but we didn't make that a must-have. We made that a nice-to-have because that location was good, but we weren't closing our minds off to other opportunities. And again, when you're making decisions around the, significant leadership decisions, think about parameters, think about where's the flexibility so that when you're tasked with thinking about things or something new comes into your peripheral vision, you're able to consider it as opposed to ignore it completely. And I think that flexibility of thinking is really important when it comes to making change happen. And certainly that's what we found.
Well, especially when you think about, it's not one person making a decision. In our particular circumstances, it was us making a decision, and we are individuals. So we have individual thoughts and feelings and desires for certain living situation. And if you translate that into a workspace as a leader, you've got the bigger picture as the goal, if you like, but it's how it impacts the people around and making the final outcome the best for everybody, even if you're going to get some people that aren't as happy about it. But you've got some people, it will be, oh, this is all of my list of must-haves has been ticked here, and somebody else has got, oh, I've got a nice-to-have on mine, or somebody else has got a compromise on the list, but they're all happy with the final outcome.
And we'll come back to that in part two, because there was a point at which, wasn't there, where you felt your all of your must-haves were there, and I was feeling like I was compromising a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we work through that?
Yeah.
But the other thing that happened, of course, was we then had to break the news to all of our close friends and all the lovely people that we knew down in that area that we were moving. And again, we'll also talk about that in part two, because the reactions were different and the reactions had an impact on us, and equally our thought process had an impact on them. So the first part of the conversation was, how did we go about making the decision? And the second part is going to be all about the impact it had on our stakeholders. Now, obviously, in our personal lives, we don't go around calling our family stakeholders.
I might start.
Yeah, but I wanted to just position that in your heads as the listener, in terms of thinking about your stakeholders around you and what you might need to think about when it comes to bringing them on board with the change or helping them understand how the changes can be positive for them, but equally, how do they accept elements of the change which they don't necessarily particularly like? So that's where I thought we'd take
the
it
topic.
Next.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had a bit of a mixed reception to the news, didn't we?
I think it was levels of positivity. So there was this, oh no, you can't go. But they're happy for you, but they're not articulating it in a, I really don't want you to go because I'm going to miss you. Because I think we surround ourselves by people that we know wouldn't hold us back or guilt us to change decisions or not make decisions based on the impact on them. And I think the majority, for me personally, the majority were quite like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Oh my God, I can't believe you're doing it. I can't believe you're going. But this is really exciting. But they're interested in asking, where is it? What's it going to be like, etc. So it made it more of a not collaborative, that's not the right word, but yeah, I suppose in a way it was a collaborative conversation in that they were invested in what the decision was and how it could work. And ironically, people are very keen to make the trip to visit with us here, and we are 200 miles away. Mm-hmm. And where we were in Dorset, some of our friends were only 30 miles away, and we very rarely saw them. So it's quite an interesting...
Yeah, because everybody's just going about their normal daily life, aren't
they?
They've
got work, they've got children, they've got, you know.
But that it was interesting because we'd made the decision to move to Wales, which wasn't necessarily initially on our geographic scope. We were just tripping over into Wales in terms of the geography. But the reception that created, because Wales is my homeland, so I had the opposite reception to Jackie, because obviously most people were like, oh no, don't come back to Wales. Yeah.
Whereas they've welcomed me with open arms.
Absolutely. So you're right, we need to go back half a step just to finish off the decision-making process, because we'd remained flexible on geography, we actually had a weekend where we were searching around the geography that we'd chosen, not finding anything that we liked. And then just by chance, we decided to come and visit some friends in Carmarthen.
We were tagging that visit on to friends, looking around the area that we had originally chosen.
Hmm.
And then just loving the area and the energy of the area, the freedom that you feel when you're here.
Hmm.
And that's how it happened, really. It was like, well, maybe we could find something that's here. So maybe we'll spend a bit of time exploring the area to find where we properly want to lay the roots down. And we found a great property to rent whilst we're making the final decision to
we're renting to settle into the area, aren't we?
Yes.
We know we want to be in this area, so this is just the next step. As you say, it's just such a beautiful area, but it absolutely met all our criteria.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one that it compromised was the specific location and the distance away from family, particularly your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the helping stakeholders get on board part of the conversation comes alive, because you know, your family, all of them absolutely supportive, and mm-hmm. this is exciting, but anticipating, as you say, the miss of us being that much further away, even though, as you say, when you're closer, you don't necessarily see each other every 5 minutes because you're getting on with your lives.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we go about bringing them on board and getting them as excited about it all as we are?
I think just shared our excitement about what we were going towards. And I think if you offer a higher energy around a decision, their energy, even if they are less enthused by the decision, is going to be raised because they are being given the positive impact of making that decision and the excitement about making the decision. Is like, they can't be negative, and even if they are negative,
we're impervious.
Well, you know, the whole thing about, you know, there's I mean, our friends that moved here last year, before they moved here, they'd got a tiny bit bogged down by people's responses. It always rains in Wales.
Mm.
And we know differently because we come here regularly beforehand to see your family. But it's almost expecting people to say that to us. Oh, it rains a lot in Wales, doesn't it? And it's like, well, not where we're going, it doesn't. And you can get impacted by the negative, or the negative connotations of what they're saying, because it feels like it's a bit of a jibe. But actually, it's kind of like, well, come and visit and you'll see differently. And it's just deflecting it. And always being a bit smug about it. It's like, it doesn't really rain that much. It rains everywhere.
Yeah.
We're just not really noticing it.
But I was writing about that in my newsletter today, about the concept of, it's actually not what the people are saying that's the issue. It's your mindset. It's whether you're willing to listen to that and let it affect you, or is your mindset, actually, I'm really positive about this, and I'm sure you mean that humorously, because most people do. it's just, as you say, there's that little needle of, you know.
That almost sounded like it was a segue into you being able to say that. I haven't read your newsletter yet.
That's commitment for you.
Sorry about that, folks, but, well, there you go.
For those of you who are interested in reading my newsletter, just drop me a line. Simon@thechangeman.com.
It's next on my list.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you say, it's about positive energy. And that's really key, bringing this back into the workplace and bringing this back to leadership. If you want to lead people somewhere, lead them to somewhere where they can get excited about. And they'll only ever get excited based on your level of excitement. Mm-hmm. They'll never out-excite you about your own decisions. So if your excitement levels are not obvious to them, then it's very easy for them to just layer on layer, if you like, of negativity. So we kept our energy levels high because we were super excited about it. Equally with your stakeholders, think about how can your energy brush off on them? That's the first part of it. The second part of it is to appeal to the logic. So what you're doing with the emotion is appealing to the heart, but then you have to back that up with some logic. And in our case, that was really simple because we just started giving them the insight of, well, there'll always be a welcome there and you can always come and visit us and look at the amazing scenery, the whole area. You could have a great little holiday there.
And since we've been here, I've actually taken more photographs than I've done in probably the last 5 years of just the scenery, because it's just kind of, I've got to take a picture of that because it's pretty, the colours, the blues and the greens, you know, because it's blue skies in Wales as well. It's not just rain, you know, and just sending photos to people saying, this is literally 5 minutes from where we're living. Yeah, and I'm kind of, you know, jaw dropped about it.
Mm.
And that in itself helps people be excited about it as well, because they're like, whoa, my goodness me, look at what's on your doorstep. But if we were saying, before we had moved, if we were saying to people, I don't know if it's the right decision to have made, or, I'm worried that it's going to be raining a lot in Wales and we're not going to be able to go out outside and things like that. The energy that you're going to get back from those people will actually bring you even further down, because they'll be like, oh, are you sure you want to go? You don't need to go, you know. And even if people had said to us in our higher energy state of, you don't have to go, you know, we would be like, yes, we do. This is the best decision we've made.
Mm.
And then they will be on board.
No, you're absolutely right. Of course, in our case, we were really fortunate because everybody was actually quite excited about it once they understood it, understand why we were excited about it, but then understood the logic of, wow, we could actually have some great holidays there. The reality when you're trying to lead change in the workplace or in your community or in your family sometimes is that there are people who are not that excited about it. And the challenge then is to ensure that they don't have a negative impact on your energy for what you're trying to achieve. So you've still got to build up your own resilience to ensure that you can follow through on what you're trying to do. But you also need to recognize that not everybody is necessarily going to get on board. We didn't face that problem with this move.
No, but I suppose it's like keeping your eye on the prize, isn't it? I think when you know, when you feel this is the absolute best decision and it's happening, I don't, even if you do get met with some curveballs or dissension amongst your loved ones, it still keeps you on track to make the decision, because you know in your heart of hearts that it's the best decision, and everything else will just shape itself around it.
Yeah,
will shape shift itself.
Definitely.
Yeah,
so an interesting move for us, which led us to needing to manage our stakeholders, to use a change management term. It led us to thinking about drafting criteria for the change and making sure we were clear on the goal and the vision and all that good stuff. And I mentioned earlier a phrase that my mentor used to use, which was make a decision and then make that decision right. So we thought for this part of the show, we would talk about how we're making the decision right. So we've moved to Carmarthenshire. We are 200 miles away from Jackie's family, and we're at least 50 miles away from many people in my family. So this isn't a move towards anybody's particular family, but equally, our friends are all over the UK, and this is a new area to us. So we're in that process of making the decision right now. Yeah. So what sort of things are we up to?
Well, exploring the area, finding the local supermarket, finding the best coffee shops, finding the best restaurants. Me personally, I've found a nice little exercise class to go to. Just going out and still feels a tiny bit like the holiday phase, doesn't it?
That's just what it's like living in Wales.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, so I'll need to pinch myself forevermore.
Absolutely.
So I think it's that, but also, it's even just asking the neighbours, what's this, what's that, where can we get this from, or joining the local Facebook groups to get insights into what's around, and the responses that you get is really positive and helpful for you then to be able to then make choices of what you want to do with the information.
I'm likening it to the work I do with people when they're changing career and the first 90 days. So for us in this 90-day period, as you say, it's all about getting to know the area, working out how we're going to live in this place and all the logistics.
Trusting the sat-navs.
Both of the house and, as you say, the sat-nav in the local areas, because we don't know the specific layout of the streets and things. So there's all those sorts of practical things, but equally, as you say, it's about relationship building. And I think in the first 90 days in a job, one of the biggest things you've got to do is build relationships. There's no point just sitting in your chair and expecting people to come and talk to you. They will do that for the first day or two, but after that, they're very likely to just actually steer a wide course around you, because they're thinking, oh, that's that person who doesn't speak. So get up out of your seat, go and talk to people, and be as curious as you possibly can, because they have all the answers. And like Jackie said, talking to our neighbours, talking to people on Facebook groups, talking to people in the shops, people in the community, about absolutely anything and everything. Because it all just broadens. No, it's not difficult for you at all. It just broadens your knowledge and you start connecting the dots. Now, for me, that's slightly more of a challenge, just because I'm sort of an ambivert. I'm sort of a bit introverted and a bit extroverted. But in general, it is about getting out of your comfort zone and getting out there and talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are all the initial things that we're doing. Over time, that will
settle.
Yeah, that'll settle, and we'll create some strong connections, and that will enable us to build the life that we've decided to build in this part of the world. But I think the interesting thing is there will be an emotional roller coaster to go on, I'm sure, where there'll be times when we wonder if we've made the absolute right decision, or whether there's elements of our previous life that we totally miss and can't do without, almost, in terms of being right there on the doorstep.
It doesn't feel like that's going to be the case personally. Yeah. But I think that we're individually and collectively very good at dealing with curveballs as they present themselves.
Yeah, plot twists, we call them.
Yeah, plot twists. And it's like, well, how are we going to make that work? And somehow we can navigate most things. Might have to have a few tears along the way, but still tend to
make it happen.
Yeah, work it out whichever way, and trust that it will work out in the best way possible.
Yeah.
It might just feel a little bit rocky for a short while.
And I was talking to somebody recently who's had to make this decision on their own, and this type of move on their own. And that can initially appear more challenging, because you sort of think, well, they've got nobody to bounce ideas off, nobody to talk to about it. But on another level, it makes some things easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have to deal with the... Because what happens typically when there's two or more people involved in a change is they're on a different stage of the roller coaster at different times. Yeah. So that can be supportive if you're on a downward slope. But equally, if you're on an upward trajectory and they're on down, that can bring you down.
Absolutely.
So at least if you're on your own, you can just get on, make decisions, move quicker and more agile, which is why smaller organizations, of course, are more agile just in their nature, because they're not hung up with complex decision-making processes. And similarly, you know, in a relationship, there's an extra dimension of complexity when it comes to making those decisions, as we chatted about earlier. So having said that, we're good at working our way around problems, there's always the possibility that we've made the wrong decision. And it's exactly the same when we're navigating change in an organization. The point about change is you don't know where it's going to lead. You have an ambition, you have a vision, and you're trying to bring that vision to life, but it doesn't always work out. And I guess there is that, for us, what feels like a very slim possibility we've made the wrong decision. But I guess what do we do if we get to that 89th day, as you said, when we were thinking about this before, and it's like, it's not right.
Then you go back to the drawing board. You'd go back to the drawing board and figure out what was the positive part of the decision, but what is the negative impact of that decision, and how do you turn the negatives into a positive? And if that means packing up and moving somewhere else, how would you implement that? And how would you again, it's because that is this, it's no different from the making the initial decision to move. It's just that didn't work out. Right, let's regroup and let's work it out again. How are we going to make this good for everybody involved? And that could, as you say, the 89th day could be, how can we make this so it is still a good decision? Or how do we change it so it feels like it is the next best decision, the next decision is the best one.
And what you've just expressed is an absence of getting to that point where you feel the decision made was the wrong one, and just wallowing in an element of self-pity or looking at it and just thinking, I'm stupid for having made that decision. None of that actually matters. And in fact, at that 89th day, none of that is important, because they're just things that have happened.
Yeah.
It's all about making the most of life on the 89th day, just as much as we're now on the 14th day or the 7th 10th. Day, whatever it is. So on the 89th day, it's not about looking back, because that can be interpreted 100 different ways. Yeah. This is the 89th day. This is how we feel about the decision right now. Is it fixable? Is it something we can work with and, as you say, flip some of the negatives on their head? Or is it a case of cutting our losses and moving on with a new decision and embracing that decision as equally enthusiastically as we've embraced the original decision?
Yeah.
So if you've ever seen those quotes about resilience is, you know, it's not how many times you've been knocked down, but how many times you can get back up. That's exactly what that means. It means, yes, if on the 89th day we decide it's the wrong decision, that's a knockdown. The only thing that makes it a problem is if you stay down. But in our case, we would anticipate it would be like, right, come on in. Where do we go next? What's the next decision?
Yeah.
As I said, in a change context, that's exactly the same. Your stakeholders will be watching. They'll be trying to understand how it's going for you. And if it isn't going brilliantly, that's absolutely fine. You just need to show them how it's going to be improved and where the next adventure is going to take them.
And also accept the help.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's any help available.
Yeah.
Which there always is.
Yeah.
As we found out. So, Jackie.
Yes, Simon.
Thank you for popping in to the Change Show and sharing all of your insights. That was The Chain Show with Simon Phillips. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It was Simon and...
Enhanced by Jackie.
Enhanced by my wife, Jackie. We'll see you back here again next week. Take care.